Good morning to all of you. Welcome back. We're grateful to our Heavenly Father for all of the safe travel. Some of you went international, some of you went to other parts of the country and home and so on. So great to have you back. This morning, before we begin our chapel service, we have a guest with us today who is here on behalf of what is called Joy-Filled Children of the World. I'll let her explain that to you. She's a Bethany graduate, Beth Radloff Gove. We'd like to have her come and address you for a minute. Our scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from the letter to the Hebrews, the 12th chapter, beginning with verse 7. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. If you're ever out in a public place and you suddenly hear a little child screaming and yelling, there's an automatic reflex in us that wants to go and help or find out what the problem is. It's often a fear that some child is maybe being abducted or abused. Many years ago, I heard a child, a little bit older boy, maybe about 7 or 8 years old, screaming and yelling. And then I could hear an adult voice trying to yell back at this child. And I went over and found the storefront where this was happening. It was a drugstore and kind of a mall. And at first, my gut reaction was to go and stop the confrontation and to try to get in the middle of all this. But then I kind of observed what was happening, and the little boy was yelling to his dad. It was his father holding him. He was yelling to his dad, "Dad, I promise I'll never do it again. Please, no." And I kind of stood and watched. The father wasn't hurting the son, but just holding his arm. And all of a sudden, a security guard came walking by, and the father asked the guard to come over and to talk to his son. So I kind of stood and observed, and turned out that his little boy, about 8 years old or 9 years old, had stolen a candy bar, and the father had caught his own son stealing, and he wanted to teach him a lesson. And so he was yelling at his little boy, and he brought the manager of the store to deal with him, and now he had a security guard from the mall that came over. And all the three of these men were talking to this little boy, and he was standing there in tears, absolutely crying away. And what I initially thought was an adult being mean to a child, I started to see and realize there was love there. There was the love from a father trying to think about his child and the child's future. The text in front of us says, "No chastening," that means discipline, "seems to be joyful for the present, but painful." Now, that line, I'm sure, meant a lot to the Hebrews who received this letter. The Jewish Christian people in Judea were frequently under persecution. Some of them may have witnessed Stephen being martyred, stoned to death for preaching about Christ. Now, there are times when God seems to not really pay attention to our prayers. There are times in our lives when what we would ask of him seems to fall on deaf ears, if you will. And I'm sure that with that little boy in the drugstore, that very moment, if you were able to pull him aside, it might have been hard to convince him right at that moment that his father actually cared about him and loved him. When you're in the middle of a trial, when you're in the middle of having to deal with the whether it's persecution somehow or some trouble in your life, when you're in the middle of that discipline that God permits you to face is very hard, and it may cause us to even question whether God cares about us. I'm sure that Lazarus, in Jesus' parable, when he was so poor and so sick that the dogs came and licked his sores, I'm sure that in that parable of Jesus, it was implied that his life was rather miserable at that moment. If you think about the poor widow putting the few coins in the alms box outside of Jerusalem in her great poverty, I'm sure if you could have talked to her that day, she might have had questions about whether God was really taking care of her. Job, we know, in the middle of his trouble and sorrow and all of his illness, certainly had questions about God. St. Paul himself was stoned in the city of Lystra and left for dead. But that same St. Paul goes on to say this: "We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God." Now, when we look at situations in our lives and try to analyze them according to our logic and reasoning, it causes us to question God. It may cause us to question God's love or whether he even exists or whether he cares. Or it may cause us to even think God's being vindictive toward me in my life and make sometimes really challenge us as to how we look at God. And yet, even in the middle of the most difficult situations that you and I face in life, God's eye of love is always on his children and is always thinking of what's best for them. When I was probably in junior high, I had a couple of friends that were in a family of a bunch of boys in the family. And I noticed that the dad would oftentimes treat one of the sons a little bit differently than the others. And he just handled him a little differently. And years later, when I became a full-grown adult and was talking to this father, I asked him about that. And he said, well, I knew that my one boy could only take so much. The other one, I knew how to handle him in a little bit different way. That's how God is with his children as well. The Lord knows each one of us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our strengths. He knows what's going on in our lives. He knows how much we can handle. He knows the path that is best to take you down in life that will ultimately keep you in your faith and lead you to the mansions of heaven. So our Heavenly Father, just like that earthly Father, knows each one of us personally so well and our lives so well that he knows exactly how to guide us. And in our dealings with us, unlike our earthly dads, I had a pretty wonderful earthly father, but he could still make mistakes. He'd be willing to admit that. But unlike our earthly fathers, God never makes mistakes with us. His discipline is without fail, always for our ultimate benefit and for our ultimate good. And so the chastening and the discipline that a child receives is never for the parent. It's never being done for the sake of the parent, or shouldn't be. It is always being done for the sake of the child and for the benefit of the one who is receiving that discipline. And God promises us that through these trials he may take us through in life, that he will ultimately bless us, keep us in our faith, and that it will be for our ultimate good. Wouldn't it be interesting that incident I referred to at the beginning probably took place close to 30 years ago. Wouldn't it be interesting to find that boy now who's probably 35, 6, 7 years old, whatever, and he's probably a dad maybe by now. Wouldn't it be interesting to sit down and interview him today about his father and to ask him now his perspective on that, looking back on it? I wonder if he even uses the same approach with his own kids, now that he sees the wisdom and the benefit of that. You're at an age now where you can look back on the discipline you received from your parents. Some of it probably wasn't very fun. I know mine wasn't. But we can kind of look back with more mature eyes now and realize the blessings that God can bring into our lives through our parents. And the Lord would have us look at our relationship to him in that same way. You know, when Olympic athletes finally get to stand on the top step of the podium and listen to their nation's anthem being played as they have the gold medal around them, if you were to ask them at that moment, all of those hours and hours of practice and hard work and everything, was it worth it? Oh, they would all say yes. When you and I finally someday, by God's grace, through faith in Christ, enter heaven and are at that point able to look back on the trials and struggles that God allowed to come to us in this life, it's going to be so worth it. It's going to be so easy for us to say, it was hard to go through, and yet what a blessing it was for me. Listen to what our text says again. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And he goes on to say that God is doing this so that we may share in his holiness. Just think what that's going to be like, to actually share in the holiness of God in absolute purity in yourself in heaven, and to be standing in his presence forever with all of his saints. So in the meantime, even when we're facing difficult trials, we continue to pray very simply, thy will be done, because we know it's always in our best interest. Amen. Please rise. And we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thy will be done in our lives. We pray in this petition that you would break and hinder every evil counsel and will, and that you would strengthen and keep us steadfast in your word and in our Christian faith until our end, so that we may live with you someday in glory. Amen.